I almost feel I don't need to say anything this evening after such a wonderful presentation. The message of Christmas has come across so clearly. Although if they'd asked me, I could have helped those Welsh shepherds with their accents. But could I thank Grenier van Logerenburg and all his team who've made this evening such a special evening. Thank you. Christmas can be quite a difficult time for a lot of people. The bereaved will feel the pain of their loss more acutely. Those who are separated from loved ones by great distance. Those who are short of money and can't join in the great orgy of spending. It's so important in the midst of the commercialism to get back to the real meaning of Christmas. A 1999 survey by the television company On Digital found that among the under 30s, people knew more about Christmas television programs than they do about Christmas itself. In the survey, only 28% of the group could name the three gifts brought by the wise men. Only one in five knew that the king who ordered the killing of the firstborn was called Herod. In contrast, 64% knew that the television detective who drove a red Jaguar was called Morse. We need to get back to the real meaning of Christmas. And that's what we've seen this evening. We've seen a young girl, probably no older than 16, visited by an angel and told she's going to have a baby, even though she's a virgin, because the baby will be conceived supernaturally. In fact, the baby will be the Son of God. God become one of us. We've been introduced to Joseph, a godly man who would have divorced Mary quietly on learning of the pregnancy. But he is spoken to by an angel and resolves to marry Mary and to bring up this child as his own. And so they go to Joseph's hometown, to Bethlehem, to register, because there was a census of the whole Roman Empire. They make the arduous journey to Bethlehem when Mary is in late pregnancy. There's no room for them to stay. And fulfilling the ancient prophecy about the Messiah, the baby is born in Bethlehem. And Mary lays Jesus in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. We've met those shepherds living out in the field, looking after their flock. We've seen their fear when they're confronted by an angel who tells them of the baby's birth in Bethlehem. We learn that he is the Savior, the Rescuer, Christ the Lord. Suddenly, there's a multitude of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It's an amazing story, isn't it? And so, the shepherds hurry to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened. And these shepherds become the first evangelists, the first tellers of a story which has been told for 2,000 years, telling everyone they see that they've met Jesus. And then we saw the visit of the wise men, magi, astrologers from the East. They come perhaps 2 years later, when Jesus was a toddler. They bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're an example to us of worship, They're an example to us of seeking Jesus, looking for Jesus, despite great difficulty. And then we saw Jesus, an adult now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing up to the reality of his imminent death. He pleaded with his Father that he might not have to die on the cross, but he willingly submitted to God's will. My Father, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Finally, the story ends not with the death of Jesus, but with the resurrection of Jesus. 3 days after he's crucified on the cross, Jesus rises triumphant from the grave, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering hell. There's the story. How are you going to respond to it? Well, understand three things. Firstly, God loves you. There's a famous verse in the Bible which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the fundamental truth about Christmas. God so loves the world. He loves the world so much that he leaves the glory of heaven and he humbles himself. He comes to be born in poverty and squalor. He comes to become one of us. He comes to experience our sadness, our difficulties, our struggles, all because he loves us so much. Secondly, you and I need a Savior. The reason God came to us was because we needed to be saved. We need to be saved from hell. From hell, for heaven. The truth is, we've all disobeyed God. We've all rejected his rule in our lives. The Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned to our own way. We're like wandering sheep. We need a shepherd to lead us back to pasture. So we need a Savior. And that is exactly who Jesus is. See, he was born to die. He was born to save us. On December the 5th, 1986, Walter Wyatt Jr. boarded his plane. Normally, the flight from Nassau to Miami took only 65 minutes. But on this occasion, thieves had stolen the plane's navigational equipment. All Wyatt had was a compass and a handheld radio. As Wyatt flew, the sky blackened with storm clouds. When his compass began to gyrate, Wyatt concluded he was flying in the wrong direction. He flew his plane below the clouds, hoping to spot a landmark. Eventually, he put out a Mayday call, which brought out a Coast Guard Falcon search plane to lead him to an emergency landing strip only 6 miles away. Suddenly, Wyatt's right engine coughed and died. The fuel tank had run dry. Around 8 p.m., Wyatt could do little more than glide his plane into the water. He survived the crash, and with blood on his forehead and a leaky life vest round his torso, Wyatt floated on his back. Suddenly, he felt a sharp bump against his body. It was a shark. Wyatt kicked the shark with all his might. The shark left him alone for the next 10 hours. In the morning, there was still no rescue plane. But Wyatt saw a dorsal fin heading for him. He felt the hide of a shark brush against him. In a moment, two more bull sharks sliced through the water towards him. Again, he kicked the sharks, and they veered away. But he was nearing exhaustion. Just then, he heard the hum of a distant aircraft. When it came within half a mile, he waved his orange vest. The pilot dropped a smoke canister and radioed the cutter Cape York, which was 12 minutes away. As the Cape York pulled alongside, a ladder was dropped over the side. Wyatt climbed wearily out of the water and onto the ship, where he fell to his knees and kissed the deck. Wyatt had been saved. He didn't need encouragement. He didn't need advice. He needed a savior. He needed to be rescued from sure death. And that's how it is for you and me. We need a rescuer. We need a savior. Someone who will save us, not from sharks, but from hell when we die. And that's exactly who Jesus is. He did wonderful things in his 33 years of life. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He taught God's word. But all of that was secondary. The reason Jesus was born was so that he might be nailed to a Roman cross and bleed and die. The Bible teaches that when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. That's how he saves us. We've sinned. We deserve hell. But Jesus takes our punishment so that we might go to heaven. God loves us. We need a savior. And thirdly, we must make a response. The worst thing you could do tonight would be to say, "I'm so glad Jesus came, but I'm just going to carry on as before." You need a savior to save you from hell. And a savior has come. You need to say to him, "Yes, please, save me." Just like Walter Wyatt had to accept being saved from the shark-infested water. We need to understand certain things. We need to understand that following Jesus is costly. He demands total control of your life because he's God. He made you. He demands that you obey him. He demands that you repent of your sin. That means you say sorry for all the things you've done wrong and turn away from those things. You may very well be laughed at for following Jesus, perhaps worse. But to reject Christ is to reject God's love, to reject a relationship with God, to reject a home in heaven when you die, and it's to choose the devil. So which is it going to be? God loves you. God wants you. Jesus has come to be your savior. I'm going to suggest a very simple prayer, which you might like to say, to make Jesus your Saviour this Christmas. It's a simple A, B, C, D. A, admit. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you've disobeyed God and gone against Him. B, believe. Believe that Jesus is God. Believe that He died on the cross to pay for all your sin. C, consider. Consider the cost. Understand that God demands total obedience. But D, decide. Decide to follow Jesus. I'm going to say that prayer now. And if you'd like to make it your own, then do say Amen at the end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. Lord, we admit that we're sinners. We admit that we've disobeyed you. We admit that we need to be saved from hell for heaven. But we believe that Jesus is God and that He died on the cross to pay for all our sin. We've considered the cost. We understand that you require complete obedience. Now, Lord, we decide to follow Jesus. We give you our lives. Please rule our lives. Please be God. In Jesus' name, Amen.